I want to first of all say thank you for coming and helping us pray for America. I'm sure that all of you who are faithful intercessors and have chosen to pray with us can admit that your love for America is growing. Although the knowledge of America's wrongdoings are also growing, our love, our care, our compassion is growing. And when we see the explosion we're going to see when Trump retakes his rightful place in this country, we're going to be so glad that we stayed sensitive and standing in faith. So thank you so much. Please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 57 and move all the way over to, I think, the middle of verse 13. And then we'll go through 15 and perhaps stop there for a moment. Father, I thank you for your incredible goodness. We don't know you, Lord. You want us to know you, but we don't know you. Your presence is so beautiful. It's so complete. It completes us in a way that nothing else can. It satisfies our hunger and our longing in ways that nothing else can. When you come, we know that we are before the ruler of every living thing. And what we see in you is authority, love, patience, comfort, holiness, everything we need, you're so willing to impart, is standing before us. So we thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you are and what you so desire to make of us. In your precious name, amen. I have to admit, tonight I feel so very tearful, and not in a bad way, not in a bad sense, but in a very good sense. The more I walk in this place that is going to be before us, the more I yearn for the church to walk there. Because it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. It's everything you could ever hope for it to be, and so, so much more. So let's start here. But he who takes refuge in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Zion also the heavenly inheritance in the spiritual Zion, and of course in Hebrew that's pronounced Zion. And the word of one shall go forth, cast up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of the spiritual return of my people. For thus says the high and lofty one, he who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, but with him, let me start that over. I dwell in the high and holy place, but with him also, who is of a thoroughly penitent and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart thoroughly penitent and bruised with sorrow for sin. That tells us so much of what he longs for our relationship to be. If you've never been a visitor to this high and holy place, you don't know how beautiful, how wonderful it is. It speaks things into your heart, into your soul, into your life that can be life-changing. I say can be because if we follow the admonition that's being given to us, to dwell there is to dwell there in him. At first, with him. But then, in that place, he begins to bring you into a new land of discovery, a new place of discovery, a new understanding of your future and of the future that he has planned. This is a place to covet. You can let go of everything you might covet in the earth that would be wise. But to walk with him, to live in him, to live with him in this holy place is something to be highly prized, greatly coveted. May I add the word there, humbly coveted. I know that people teach, and it is scriptural, to come boldly into the throne of grace. But it's not talking about brashness. It's talking about a boldness of faith and not human fear. If we attempt to come in a brash spirit, telling God what he needs to do, you're going to find that you're going to walk away feeling very discouraged because it accomplishes nothing. The first word that must guide your feet up that mountain and to that holy place must be humility. Humility before God and humility born of the Spirit of Christ. There are many Christians that think they can go to the Bible and literally tell God what he's supposed to do, what he needs to do. Tell God what you think. Whenever I say that, I always think of this really kind of cute story. I had a friend and I was trying to teach her how to enter into the higher places of prayer. So one day she was praying and she said to the Lord, "Well, if you want my opinion," and he interrupted her before she could say another word, and he said, "I really don't. Your opinion is worth nothing to me. What you need to be discussing with me is what my opinion is." Well, she was greatly humbled by that because she had servants, many servants, and she was accustomed to telling her servants what to do. She didn't understand, I suppose, what we are when we come before the Lord God Almighty. We're not only his children, but we're his servants too. So that was an important lesson, and it's not always a fun lesson. The truth is, some of the lessons we learn in God at first are not fun. But if we will obey him, seek to understand him, understand his lessons, understand how different his speech is than human speech, understand how different his ways are than human ways, and learn to love his speech and his ways, then they become beautiful. He purifies us so that they can become beautiful. And we find ourselves more and more longing to know his ways, to know the way he talks and thinks and feels. We desire to know it above all things. And when our heart is finally settled in on that place where he really is Lord, it's no longer just talk, but he has become Lord. And all of your directions come from him, either by his spirit, in your spirit, or through the word, where he is saying emphatically, this is the next step. And when we can find joy in his interest in our life, everything changes. It's wonderful that he really is quite willing to teach us what we don't know, so that we can live in this place, dwell in this place, this high and holy place. To live there, to dwell there, requires first and foremost the fear of the Lord. And it's not a fear like you might have feared mom and dad when you were growing up because you didn't want a spanking for something that you had done wrong. But it's a fear that's based on the knowledge of just who and what God really is. And that he's holy. He's holy. He's sovereign in his power. He does show mercy. He does show compassion. But he is the sovereign Lord and God. We don't want to try to reverse those roles, or it becomes increasingly difficult. But the time will come, you'll love those new roles. The word says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk and live in your truth. Direct and unite my heart solely, reverently, to fear and honor your name." And this is what I'm talking about, this fearing of sin, that you might honor his name. You don't want to sin. You fight against sin in your own soul because you want to be pleasing to him. You want to be pleasing so badly that you will do anything, go through anything, hear whatever you need to hear to be changed. Because you no longer live for the honor of your own name. Some of his lessons come in deep valleys of humility, and they're the most important lessons that we learn, that we might walk on the mountain in the glory with him. So I want to encourage you tonight that when you're alone in your prayer closet with the Lord, pull the Word out, pull the Bible out. Find scriptures that exalt him in his glorious ways and in his glorious person. Exalt him. Scriptures out of Psalms that speak of lauding his excellence. You want to praise him for all that he is, because all that he is right and perfect. All that we are, no matter how good we think our ideas are, most of our ideas are going to be an accumulation of thoughts and ideas of many years in the earth. And it's going to be a little difficult to understand why he says some things. Obedience is so very important. Every time you obey, you gain favor with him, because he loves a happy and obedient heart. But we don't obey to gain that favor. We obey because we love him. And that's the primary thing he's looking for. Why are we obeying? Is it because we want something? Or is it because we love him? I can remember many, many years ago, he spoke to me. In fact, this is in one of my books. He spoke to me saying, when there are not enough words to express your love, obedience says it all. I thought about that, contemplated, meditated on that for years, trying to find areas in my soul that were given to my own standard of obedience. Now, if he's asking you to let go of things, specific things, you may find that when the time is right and you've learned what he needed you to learn, that he will begin to restore some of those things. But never look for it. He'll just put it in your heart to know. But by the time he does, it's not going to have the importance in it that it had before he took it. So everything, say this in your heart, everything that enters into my life is ultimately a path for the knowledge of walking with God. It's a path of lessons to gain the ability to walk with God. Some of us really need circumstances to have reason. And I'm one of those people. If I go through travesty, tragedy, heart pain, emotional pain, physical pain, spiritual pain. I look for the reason that it was allowed. And I'm not saying so much the door that was opened to allow that, because I've also learned that God is bigger than our doors. And if there's a door we need to close, if we're seeking His wisdom, He'll tell us. But usually, it has to do with character changes. Changes we never knew before. That to have good character, we must walk in these particular things. And He uses these circumstances to help make us, even to break us if He has to better make us. It is never for the end to be evil. It is always for the end to be good and to be prosperous. That's why we can call Him a good God. The book of Hebrews tells us that He disciplines like an earthly father, but His discipline is to prepare us for His holiness. A much higher degree of success, of blessings, are on His disciplines, because they go deeper into the heart, deeper into the soul, that He might bring us to a place of light and glory, where we can walk with the Son of God, like the Son of God walked with the Father. In fact, let me say this. Years ago, I think it was back in 1989, I'm not positive about the date, but years ago, I was walking, first of all, walking along a river in Oregon. The river was beautiful. I had complete solitude. So I would just walk along this river and I would pray. And during one of those walks, He said to me, the Father said to me, would you like to come to love and to know me as my Son did when He walked on this earth? And I was overwhelmed. I mean, I had no idea that that could be part of the package. I was so overwhelmed. But I said to Him, Father, You are God. Your Son, Jesus, though He was all man, He was also all God. How could I, a mere mortal, walk with You the way He did, to know You the way He did? He never answered that question, and He said no more. Then again, six months later, He asked me the same question, word for word. And again, my response was, Lord, this is impossible. Yes, Jesus was all human, but He was also all God. How could I possibly know and love You the way He did when He was all God? He left off. He didn't ask another question. And He left. 6 months later, I was sitting on my bed and I was worshiping the Lord, when He asked me for the third time, Would you like to come to know and love me as my son did when he was on the earth? I couldn't believe he was asking me this question. Again, of course I would want it if I believed it was possible. You can forget that I was talking to God because apparently I forgot. But here now he's asked me a third time. And it hit me. Before I could answer him, I said, Lord, you have come to me and you've asked me this question three times. And each time you ask me three times. That makes nine times. I was trying to do the arithmetic for the Lord. You have asked me nine times if I would like this. For you to go through all of this trouble to try to redirect my thinking and my understanding, it must be possible. When that reality went into my spirit, I couldn't help but cry. It was like it revealed everything I've ever wanted all my life, and I didn't even know it. And here, our Divine Father is asking me, would I like this position in Him? And I looked up and I said, Father, you know me. You know me better than anyone. You understand me in ways no one else can. You know if you would make that offer to me, I would give you anything. I would do anything. I would release anything to you. Whatever you would require, I would give if I could have that place in you. Is it possible? Yes, it is. I want it. And he said so simply, so matter-of-factly, almost nonchalantly, all right then, you shall have it. He took me at my word. It was coming from the depths of my soul. But I didn't know if I was supposed to expect something that was really robust. But no, he just said it simply, quietly, assuredly. And I knew he meant it. If I would pay the price, I could walk with him like Jesus did. Am I there completely? After all these years, I have to say, not yet, but I am a lot closer to that since I entered into union than I've ever been before. He comes to me on a regular basis. I'm not ready to tell you how often, but he comes to me on a regular basis and he talks to me. He leads me, he guides me, he helps me learn to understand his higher ways. Not what he would teach a babe, but what he would teach someone who had walked with him for a long time. And one thing I have found to be true is that he is unequivocally a good and wonderful God, and his arms are outstretched to everyone on this line. If you would just start sitting in his presence with your Bible. Don't sit there and meditate on the wind. That's occultic witchcraft. But meditate on the word. Meditate on him, things you know to be true about him. And worship him. Worship him through his word. Ask him what the hindrances in your own heart and soul are that would keep you from being able to walk in that wonderful, wondrous place of holiness with him. And as you're able to bear it, he will open it for you. But in the beginning, lots of praise, lots of praise. Well, we're pretty much done for tonight, but I'll expound on this some more. If you're interested, if you are, please send us a text. Just, I love it, please keep going. That's all we need to know. And the same thing about Ricky's Friday night messages. And we'll keep them coming as long as you're willing to chew the meat that we're giving. We love you so very much, and we appreciate you so much. You are doing miracles through your prayers right now. You do not have the slightest idea of how powerful they are, but you're about to find out. Thank you.